We love giving gifts and receiving gifts. Yes?
Yep.
Yes, thank you. A few hands raised. I see that hand. Hence, what people accuse society of commercialism, I don't like that. Like, come on, get over it. But we always talk about commercialism at Christmas. And you know what? There's still something great about giving gifts. Did you know that the next popular time of giving gifts is Easter? It's kind of becoming, in some of the articles that I've read, is kind of becoming the next, like, Judy has to hold me back, because I would go out and get all kinds of chocolate and Easter eggs and everything, and bunnies. I didn't know bunnies laid eggs. I've never figured that out. But anyway, so I would go nuts at Easter for my grandkids and adults, and don't ask me how many cream eggs I've eaten over Easter. But then there's the weddings and the gifts that we like to give to people, anniversaries, birthdays. Deep down, the giving of gifts and the receiving of gifts, they matter to us. They just do. It's just part of what we do. And we consider wrapping paper, gift bags, what's in there? What's inside that? That's why we wrap it. Maybe we know what's in it, but we all get excited about, and it's not, how many of you have ever had newspaper as your wrapping? Few of you, I've seen that around. It's inexpensive, frugal, kind of neat. I like it when you use the Saturday comics from the Free Press. Then I can read the comics before I open it up. So there's really good gift wrapping, special cakes that we cover, and the person's, so we can cover the person's eyes so they can't see what's going on. Why? We want to give the surprise, and we want to see the response of opening and seeing the gifts, and the ooing and the awing over the gift. Whether it's a baby shower, whether it's any kind of celebration, we just want to ooh and ah and all that kind of neat stuff. Sometimes there's mystery gifts. Do you ever like to get a mystery gift? You don't know what's in it. Right? You never know. And you can get some businesses, they offer that online. You can sign up for a $5 mystery gift. I'm not sure. Or what do they call that? The gift exchange, where you don't know what's in it, but you're trying to trade and open it up, and you know what I mean. What's the word for that?
White elephant.
White elephant, there we go. You give away your old stuff. There's something about gifts. What's the point? All giving began with God. Everything is a gift from a loving God to his beloved people, to his creation. The air we breathe is a gift. The food we eat is a gift. The places to rest, our beds, our favorite chairs to nap in, all of that is a gift. So many things to do, from work to play, life is a gift. All gifts from the very hand of God himself, just because he loves us. Just because he loves us. We haven't done anything to earn the air we breathe. Have you thought about that? We can't do anything to earn or to deserve the air we breathe. We haven't done anything nor can do anything to earn the gravity that we appreciate. Nor have we done anything or earned the beautiful sunrises and the sunsets. The amazing night sky, or the scenery of the prairies, or the mountain grandeur. All of that, none of it, we could ever earn, and we actually don't deserve it. It's all a gift. Why does this matter? If we are then dependent upon God for our breath, our health, our wealth, and our very life, and everything in between of that, we can either be appreciative and thankful and love God in return, or we can look at God with resentment and disdain and annoyance and even hatred. Some would say, who is God anyway? I'm my own person. Everything I had, I did with my own hand. I earned it myself. And we can get arrogant that way. I'm my own person. And we may say that even with a shaking fist. Maybe you know some friends and neighbors and co-workers and school friends that are like that. Where are we? Where are you and I in that spectrum of extreme gratefulness and thankfulness and awe to the shaking of the fist? From 1 to 10, A to Z, where are we in that spectrum? Look at John chapter 3, verse 16. For this is how God showed love. How God loved. Sorry, I'm getting that mixed up with the next one. This is how God loved the world. He gave. He gave. Did we ask for it? No. Did we deserve it? No. He gave. Next verse. Different translation. For God so loved the world so much that he gave. He loved the world. He loved every human being, every person. So loved. We can't imagine that love. So loved that he gave. He gave. Next verse. John chapter 1, verse 4. The word in this passage talks about Jesus. Jesus gave life to everything. To you and me, but do you think about the mosquito that's going to come out in the next while? Or more than one mosquito? He gave life to the mosquito, the flies, the snail. Any bugs that we see around, he gave life to all of that. He gave life to our pets, to our cats and dogs, to our cattle, to our pigs, to our chickens. He gave life to everything. And not only that, he brought light. Light. He gave. Did we earn it? No. Did we deserve it? No. Did we ask for it? No, we didn't know what to ask for. But he gave it. God is a giving God. Next verse. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one, meaning the one and only Son, who is God himself, is near to the Father's heart. The Father's heart. I want us to catch that. The Father's heart. Our Father in heaven, our Heavenly Father, his very heart is what gives. His very heart of all that goes on in your heart, you can imagine what goes on in your heart, and in his heart, he gives. He gives of his heart. He's near to the heart of God. Near to the very heart of the Father. Let's go to 2 Peter. You have your Bibles with you. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. And this is a passage we're going to be working through over the next number of weeks, or maybe months, depending on how long it gets. It's so rich. We're just going to camp on verses 1 and 2. This letter is written by Simon Peter, one of the 12 apostles, a slave and the apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to you, he says. And he's close to his death. He knows his time is going to run out. And tradition says that he actually died upside down on a cross. He didn't want to be, he wanted to be like Jesus, but he didn't want to. There's something about Peter, he just didn't want to die the same way Jesus did, out of honor to Jesus. That's a historical tradition. It's not in the Bible. That's what many scholars believe. He died upside down on a cross. I'm writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. The same faith. The same faith that we have as apostles. He's writing to the churches. We don't know where this letter all went, but we have the same faith. You and I have the exact same faith as Peter does. It's not different. It's not watered down. It's not changed. It's the exact same faith that Peter and Paul and Judas and Thomas and John and all the 12 disciples. It's the same faith, a precious faith. A precious, when you think of the word precious, what comes to your mind? Those of you who are old enough.
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings.
Precious.
Precious. And in case you don't know, it's the ring that Gollum was after.
Precious.
That's what I was thinking about. I can't not. It's just, you can't either. Now it's stuck in your brain. Every time I say precious, you're going to think about it. At least if you've seen the movies or read the books. Precious. To call him, it was so, his whole life was wrapped up. And to give away the movie, he died reaching, trying to cross for this thing. But this precious faith, this relationship with Jesus, this relationship with our Heavenly Father is so much more precious. I don't know if there's a better word than precious. It's that important. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness. That it might be translated just the righteousness. Because God could, and he had the choice, and he could because of the death of Christ. He could give this precious faith to you and me. He had the right and also the desire to give you the faith if you want it. Verse 2. Then the Apostle Peter says, may God give you more and more. More and more and more and more and more. He could have gone on for a whole paragraph. More and more and more. More grace. More grace. More undeserved favor. He could have given you, and he wants to give you, more and more grace, undeserved favor, blessings, gifts, life, health. I'm not into health and wealth gospel. I'm not into the prosperity gospel. But he wants to give life and meaning and purpose. He wants to just give and give and give. May God give you more and more grace and peace. That undeserved rest. That undeserved calm. That undeserved safety. Whatever peace means to you and more, he wants to give to you. So when we're overwhelmed, when we're anxious, when we're freaking out, when we're worried, when we're afraid, when we're fearful, when we don't know what's going to happen, God wants to give you peace. He wants to give it to us. how does it come as we grow in our knowledge of God? Now, this knowledge, often people get too wrapped up in this. The New Testament is written in Greek. The original word is gnosis, G-N, almost like a gnome, but it's gnosis. It means knowledge. And what happened, and this time, and still today, there's where they take that knowledge and they turn it into only knowledge. But the word that Peter's trying to use here is epignosis, which is more of an intimate relationship knowledge. It's different than just, I know this set of doctrines, I know this set of beliefs, and we have it all down. We have a church statement of faith of what most of us would believe. Here's a part of me is, why don't we just do the Apostles' Creed or something like that? Just, I've talked about that in the past. But we kind of list out all what we believe. It's more than that. We have our doctrines, but what he's talking about here is more than just the academic, it's the actual knowing. I could know certain things about my wife. I could know the color of her eyes. I could know that her favorite color is burgundy or purple. I could know what size shoes she wears, what size skirt, dress, whatever. I could know what her favorite food is. I could know that she likes a chai latte with lavender from Starbucks. I can know all these things, or I could know her. I'm not going to go too far into that, but I would know my wife. That's what he's talking about, where we would know God intimately. A relationship, not a set of doctrines. We've got to have that. We've got to know what we believe about God. But there's some people that get so enamored in this that they miss this. It's a blending together to know God. To know that he's a precious person. A precious person. So how do we feel towards God? How do we feel towards God? God gives us himself for relationship and friendship. God gives more than a religion. God gives more than a doctrine. God gives more than a theology. Let me read this quote. Jesus, being more than a moral teacher and more than a prophet, is tasked to lead us back to God. Jesus is God in the flesh. He is here among us. He has come down from heaven, showing us the very nature and character of who God is. He came to love us, to rescue us, to gather us to him. Theologians call this the incarnation. Jesus is God in the flesh coming to earth. Jesus is God in the flesh coming to earth. It's the heart and soul of the Christian faith. You look at any other world religion, and none of them talk about God himself coming to us. Not one religion except the Christian faith. That precious faith about God coming in Jesus to have relationship with us. This is how God came to save us. He did it personally. So it was God who died on the cross in Jesus. Personally. So how do we respond? In response to his gifts, especially himself, we spend time with him. If we love someone, we spend time with them. Conversely, if we actually hate someone, we would never spend time with them. Not that we're supposed to hate, but you know the extremes. So Judy and I go for a walk on the Rosenor Trail yesterday. Had a great time just walking and talking and also being silent. All kind of, we just spent time together. It's the same thing with God. In response to his gifts and everything he's given us, especially himself, to spend time with him, to give him undivided attention, to sit with him each morning with a cup of coffee, and I will pray for you who aren't into coffee. I will pray for your healing. It's coffee and God together. I'm looking at you, Carol. Yeah. But just spend time with God with a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, and a glass of milk, an iced tea. A lot of people drink iced tea in the morning. Coca-Cola in the morning. Whatever. But just spend time with him. A piece of toast, even. Sit in a comfy chair. Get a place in your house, on the deck, somewhere. Just to be with them. And being bigger than us, God has a huge, can you say huge? Can you say humongous? Can you say large? God, I don't know what's a bigger word than that. He's got such a huge heart that loves us and gives and gives and gives and gives and gives. And then we don't make time for him. He wants to be with us. That's the whole point. He wants to be with us. So, let's be quiet for a minute. There's not going to be a closing song today. My choice, not Randy's. My choice. I just want us to just be quiet for a little bit. Give you time. Because we could just brush on, well, that was an interesting message. No, I want us to actually sit. Just be quiet. And reflect. Right in our hearts. Listening to God. To pray quietly. Just to sit with him. Yeah, there might be a little bit of noise going on. That's okay. I know. So let's just be quiet. As you think of the huge part of God that he's given to you and to me. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for this morning, being together to enjoy coffee or tea, to enjoy good snacks together, to worship you, to love you, and to try to get a grasp of how huge your heart is, God. Draw us to you. Thank you, God, that you love us so much, that you gave and you give and you give. Thank you. As we go from here, as we enjoy time with our family and friends, or just relax, maybe it's a nice afternoon nap, we thank you for all your blessings. And bless us in this next week as we walk with you. We love you, God. We thank you. We worship you. And we pray this in your name. And all God's people said, Amen. How wonderful. Enjoy the rest of your day.